Are you ready to think? Okay. You're not going to be able to write down the things I'm going to share with you tonight. You can't write fast enough. But what you can do is get the tape. Discipline yourself, get the tape, and take it home, and don't quit until you log it all. Okay? That way you can listen better. If you want to write down something, you may get some new ideas that are better than mine. Write them down. The ones that I'm saying, they're going to be on the tape. I just want to share some things with you under the theme that I thought would fit this event. Facts that guarantee our mission. I think that says why you're here. I think you're here because you want to succeed and you thought you'd give this a round, GGF, and see if you got something good that would help you succeed in your ministry. We believe you will. We believe you already have. Don't miss your day of visitation. You might never get back here. I might never get back here. Some of us might be dead before another year runs around. Don't miss it. Don't float through it as though, well, it's going to happen every year and I'll check. No. Get it while it's available. Soak up God's best and grow. You can't wait for next year to grow. You got a whole year between now and next year to do your thing, to do God's thing. So the theme, facts that guarantee our mission. Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations. We believe that, don't we? Thank God we believe that and we're committed to that. Before Jesus went back in Luke 24, 45, and a few verses, he made some statements. The Bible says he opened their understanding. I think that's a wonderful statement. He has I might back up here just a little bit to verse 44. He had eaten with them. He had revealed himself to them after he came back from the dead, showed them his hands and his feet, and told them to look and see that it's me. I'm here. A spirit don't have flesh and bones as you see me have. And he showed them his hands and feet and wondered. He said, well, for heaven's sake, you got something to eat around here? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. He took it and ate before them and said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you. Now notice that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Now think about that a little bit. Do you know all that's written about you in the prophets, in the law of Moses, in the Psalms? Find out. Grow. Discover yourself. Then he opened their understanding. This is a remarkable statement, isn't it? That they might understand the scriptures. I really want that, don't you? Yeah. I want to understand the scriptures. They are alive. They're not dead words. They are alive. And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. So many people get tangled up between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And he's urging that we preach repentance, which is changing your way of thinking, and remission of sins. Not atonement, or not forgiveness, or not pardon, but remission, eradication, removal, disappearance, elimination, wiping out, purging, expunging all of your sin. He says, this is the new message that we're going to preach to the world. Two things that you got to change your way of thinking so far as religion is concerned. It's a new day. Now, that's what he means when he said that repentance and remission of sin should be preached. Now, did that go over your head? I mean, was I not careful enough with that? Listen, repentance and remission of sin. Think about this just a little bit. John the Baptist was the first person who received the revelation of who Jesus was. And he came along, and think what he said when he pointed this man out and said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. This is probably one of the most profound statements that introduces the New Testament, the new Christ life. And he said that. And when he said that, no wonder they cut his head off for it. Because if what he said was true, then do you know all the religion that they had at that time, all the formalities and all the religions, the temple, the altar, the priests, the animals, were gone. No longer needed, antiquated, bypassed. Now that's a real threat. Suppose we would come in here to England and preach to you with some great revelation and tell you something that would mean, anyone could understand it, that we don't need the church anymore, we don't need the pastors anymore, we don't need leaders anymore, we don't need tithes anymore, we don't need money anymore, we don't need prayer anymore, we don't need anything that the church is doing. The church is obsolete. Forget it. Follow us. That's what John did. But it was true revelation. The old Mosaic law that God made to try to teach us something. That's too heavy to get into. But anyway, that was ended. It didn't work. God was sick of it. Not because he was sick of his own idea, but sick of it because of what religion did to it. The religious pontificates of those epochs turned this wonderful revealing procedure that illustrated substitution, something innocent laying down their life for someone guilty, and by doing that receiving from God the imputation of righteousness because something innocent died for them, illustrating what Jesus would do for us, for the whole world. See? And John said, here, now, he's out there in the wilderness. The Spirit of God was on him. Wonderful man, a rough man, Old Testament man. But he got the idea. He perceived by revelation, Here is the Lamb of God. Nobody ever said anything about a Lamb of God. No, the lambs grow on the farm. Farmers, sheep growers grow lambs, but here they're saying God's got a lamb, and this is him, and he's the one that takes away the sins of the world. That meant the Jews didn't have God in a corner anymore. Everybody could have it. This is big stuff. And John said it, and he lost his life for it. He gave his life for it. They killed him. Amazing thing. Because if this was the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, well, then you don't need any more from the farm. And those guys that are making so much money raising those lambs and selling them to the people that bring their offering every year to get their sins covered for 1 year, then they're out of business. You've hit the stock market right in the heart. They're out of business. The farmers are out of business. The priests are out of business. Nothing for them to do. If their sins are taken away, that's what they've been doing all the time. They've been killing the lambs, taking the blood into the holy place, putting it on there, doing all that holy stuff, pontificating for them people, you know. Now, we don't need them anymore. I'm telling you. Yeah, you better preach repentance. Change your mind. The old system is gone. You understand? This is big stuff. The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, of the whole world. If I could jump on over, Stephen probably was one of the early ones, maybe the first one, to the deacon, the miracle-working deacon, waiting on tables, the ordinary guy, but he evidently, maybe was the, I don't know, I don't want to put this too sure, maybe he was the first one that got the revelation that John the Baptist had, because they killed him. Well, when you read it and read the story that he gave and the way he preached, and then their accusation, they brought him before the Sanhedrin. We got to kill him because he speaks against Moses and against this temple. Read what they said about Stephen. Stephen had gotten the revelation that Jesus was the Lamb of God. And we don't need Moses anymore. And we don't need the temple anymore. And all these altars and these bloody sacrifices. Dear Stephen, boy, I wonder how he preached that. Must have been a pretty good preacher, because they killed him. They said, we'll stop this guy because he talks against this temple and against Moses. We won't have it. Jesus is saying, hear me, I've revealed myself to you. I've come back from the dead. Here's my hands. Here's my feet. You got anything to eat? Okay, I'll eat it. A spirit don't have bones. Feet, let me eat. You understand? Now, let's get down to business, he says. He opened their understanding. He said, now, what you're here for, what am I talking about tonight? I'm talking about facts that guarantee our mission. What is our mission? Here, he says, it's repentance and remission of sins must be preached in his name among all nations. Now let me ask you preachers, what do you preach about when you preach? Do you preach those two subjects? Just for you to think about. I'm a preacher of repentance and remission of sins. That keeps me busy. I try to get people all over the world to change their mind about religion and find out that they don't need it. And I always tell them I don't have any, never did get any, never am going to have any, and don't believe in it. It's a ritual. I have Jesus. I have life. I'm connected with God. I'm a new person. My sins are expunged, absolved, gone, remitted. No trace of them. I am in fellowship with Jesus Christ. And we together are in partnership, and we both are in the Father, and the Father is in both of us, and both of them come to my house and live with me and show themselves through me, because I'm a believer in the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. That's what I'm interested in. That's my message. That's the message the world is waiting for. The whole world is bogged down in some kind of religion. And religion always keeps people crawling. I don't care whether it's Hinduism or Christianity, it makes you crawl. You are unworthy. God is holy. You are nobody. God is awesome. Religion. Buddhists, the same. Muslims, the same. The whole world is held in the grip of some kind of religion that keeps you a nobody before God. And Jesus said, well, it's simple, just change your mind. Find out truth and rethink things. And you'll discover, if you think about it, remission of sin, and if you can understand what that means and why that can be true, you won't have any more problem, and you can walk with me like Adam and Eve walked with me in the garden, and we can be one, and the world can be ours, and we can give this to all nations. Now that's what I'm all about. I think that's what Global Gospel Fellowship's all about. I think that's the vision of its leader, Bishop Reed, Dr. Ruth. I believe that's why they're giving so much money and time and effort and energy and thought and heart to create a place where the people of the world could come together if they want to and grow a little bit and get a little inspired and go away with bigger ideas. But the whole thing is that religion is outdated, outmoded, no longer needed anywhere in the world, and our message is to show the world why rituals won't work. They don't work anymore. Because now we have remission of sins. And then with that in mind, then what does that mean? If our sins are remitted, what's the deal? What's it all about? The remission of our sins, the cleansing, the expunging of our sins, the new creation, the God in our flesh concept. What for? To be holy? Well, yeah, you're holy, all right. Yeah, we're holy. I'm holy. But that's not the deal. It's so that we can give it to somebody and share it with somebody, because the whole world wants it. They prove it by always having some kind of religion. They want God. I read some Indian statements the other night. Let me read you another one I found just recently. So beautiful. Talking about religion. Christian religion, say. A Hindu said, what a tragedy it was when Christianity broke with Christ. That's big, isn't it? See, a Hindu said that. And then another one said, what a world awakening would come if Christianity and Christ should reunite. A Hollander said, "We don't mention Jesus anymore in our denomination because we believe he belongs to the past." See? Now, what are we going to do with this? Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom, this good news, the kingdom, I wish he wouldn't have used that word, but he did. Preachers have been fussing about it ever since, and I guess they'll go on fussing about it. But it's so simple that it's the king inside. He's in me. I'm his throne. He lives in me. I always liked what Benson said. Benson always said, God created this world, so God owns this world. If God owns this world, he's got a right to run this world, and it's his will to run this world through people like you and me, and when he does that, that's his kingdom on earth. And I believe that.
That's right.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Simple.
Yeah.
So this good news of this reigning Christ in human persons is to be proclaimed all over the world. Now that's what I'm busy doing. I'm 77 years old. I've done it in 82 countries, 56 years, and I'm more enthused about it than ever. It keeps me busy. What do you preach about? What's the subject of your sermons? The world needs us, and we have a good message for the world. Don't ruin it by ugly thoughts that are in. You wouldn't put that on the headline if you wasn't mad inside. You got to get that out of your gizzard so that you can think nice and you'll have nice headlines. Are you hearing me? This has got to be preached everywhere. Now, when we were very young, we went to India. We didn't know about miracles. We did our best, but we didn't do any good. And we came home brokenhearted because we didn't have miracles. So the Hindus and Muslims, they were very nice to us. So beautiful they were to us. But we didn't have any proof. I thought we would. They said, just prove it to us, we won't know. Sincere, beautiful people. I didn't know Muslims prayed five times a day. I was a praying man. I prayed 3 hours a day, but just once a day. They prayed five times a day. I got there and found that out. That shocked me because I thought there's all heathen. And so they told me, said, just tell us, prove it to us. I said, I will. And I got my Bible and I started looking for the pages. They said, what are you doing? I said, well, just a minute. I'm going to prove it to you what I talk about Jesus. And they said, what is that? That book. I said, that's the Bible, the holy word of God. No. And they had a book. And it was black, and it had gold print. See? And I said, what's that? They said, the Holy Quran. I said, what's that? Well, they said, the word of God by the mouth of his holy prophet Muhammad. I said, who's Muhammad? I'd never heard of Muhammad. I'm from Oklahoma. We don't know much in Oklahoma. See, I didn't know about Muhammad. But anyhow, we did the smartest thing we ever did, and I've seen lots of people overseas that ought to do the same thing. We went home. Lots of people ought to go home if they haven't got something to say. Is that true? But I didn't know. But we did our best, but we came home. But when we came back, then that was when Jesus appeared to me, and we were greatly blessed, and we set out then with the miracle Christ, and that made a difference. And so that's when we actually inaugurated what's called mass miracle evangelism. Everybody was against us in doing it, but it happened. And the crowds were enormous, and we had that beautiful idea that why not, if God would answer prayer for one, wouldn't that be a miracle? If I stand here and pray for one person and they get a miracle, they get something supernatural, wouldn't that be a miracle? I thought, yes, no question about it. That'd be a miracle. And then I had that next thought, well, what about then How big is a miracle? How big is possible? That question was profound to me. How big is a miracle? And so that's when I had the idea, maybe I could pray for two. And that would cut the time down, you know. I was worried about them long lines, you know. That'd take a long time with a crowd of people. And then the thought came, how about five? And then, of course, it jumped up to 10, and then 100, and then it bounced up to all. Why not everybody? If God does it anyhow. See, but we like to feel it's our anointing. That's okay. God bless people. Go do that. Get heavy anointing and go do that and bless all the people you can. But when you get out to a big crowd of people, they'll run over you. You got to let God do it. He can handle it. He's big enough to handle it. But that changed us. And from there, we set out then. And the first place we went was Jamaica. And 13 weeks preaching morning and night. And in those 13 weeks, over almost 10,000 souls were saved. Came forward, knelt. We're still dealing, everything 1-1. Knelt, prayed, received Jesus. Almost 10,000. That never happened before for us. So it's simple. It's no great anointing. I don't have any different anointing than you have. But I just talk to everybody and give everybody the same information and let everybody agree or disagree at the same time, and then lead everybody to either accept it or reject it. And of course, I always focus on accepting it. And if they all do that, well, then I think I've got the right to announce to them, now you've received it. And they receive it. And that's wonderful. And that way, it's simple, you can help more people. That's the only reason. You can reach more people. So that began a new life for us. And we began to prove certain principles. You see, God saves us and to make us his partners. Every church has a mission. Every Christian has a mission. Paul, Peter, Philip exemplify the mission of the church of Jesus Christ. He said, follow me and I'll make you. What? He'll make us his representative. He'll make us his witness. He'll make us his spokesperson. He'll show us how, what to do, and what all that he does to us, he will do through us. Now, giving the gospel to the world is God's number one job. What do you do in your ministry? Who do you preach to? What's your goal? What's your vision? God created everybody in this world, and they have a right to know about him. Every human being is a creature of God. Every human being is created by God. Every human being is a product, is created by love and is a product of love. Each one is unique and special and valuable in their own way. The Christian message is to tell people that. People don't believe in themselves. They live in guilt. They need to know the way out of their guilt. Salvation is the way. The remission of their sins and the reconciliation of their lives with God, that is God's plan for them. That's what we're to tell people. That's what we need. What are you preaching about? Think about it. Do you preach on this subject? This is the big subject. It has 10,000 approaches. You'll never run out of sermons if this becomes revelation to you. The world is hurting and scared and unloved and untouched and without friends and don't know God only to be afraid of Him. We have the message. We are all creations of God, intended, put in our nature the affinity that attracts us to Him. Bishop, you and Dr. Ruth were at my house when that little rabbit came down on the flower bed outside my house. And it was so darling and came there and sat a long time. And all of a sudden, we watched it out the window. And all of a sudden, here come some little ones out of the chrysanthemums. And they came to Mama. She had come to feed them. And they knew right where to go. And we sat and watched them all nurse. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. Why did they come out of them bushes and come to that Mama? They're alike. They're made to draw to each other. And the Mama, before she come down one level, sat up there and looked around a long time. And I'm sure the little ones were feeling her presence. Look, I'm talking about a hurting world. Everybody is created by God. God is in their nature. And they want Him. And they will come to Him. If you quit making Him mean, He's good. He's beautiful. He's lovely. And He loves you. And the world is scared of Him. Our message is to make the world realize He's your friend. He saved you. He's paid for you. He's reconciled you. It's done. But you got to know about it. And then you can vote yes or no. If you're against it, okay. You have the right to do that. But thank God I voted yes. Each one is special and unique. So the real idea in true Christianity is to discover that God is good. To discover people like God sees people. Are you here? Don't miss this. In your ministry, study, learn, concentrate, ponder. Figure out ways to communicate this idea. God is a good God. God loves people. God is beautiful. How can you see the flowers that surround this place and wonder what kind of a God we have? You know, Daisy and me always loved flowers. She's been gone 6 years. But I love her still. I love her memory, you know. And I live on the memories together. I have her picture in my room at the hotel right now. I always carry it with me, several of them, because that helps me. Because we were sweethearts for 54 years. And when we had to be separated, that was tough. But I've had a good life, a love life, 54 years. Okay, I'll settle for that. And I live with that. But it means so much to me. And she helped me understand how good God is. We have to communicate to preachers around the world that God is a good God. God loves people. Do you understand that? And then number two, we have to, the real idea of Christianity is to discover people like God sees people. That's a big deal. The church sees saints and sinners. God don't. God sees everybody bought and paid for. In His mind, bought and paid for. Everyone. But they don't know about it. So He sees us. He puts Himself in us and gives us a face to smile with, a hand to touch with, an arm to embrace with, to go out and show people this wonderful God because they need Him. To see people like God sees people. He don't see enemies. You know who your enemies are? I don't know who my enemies are. I don't have no enemies. No, that's their choice. They may think they're an enemy. I wouldn't know about it. I'm not interested in that. No, no, no. I have such a friend, I don't have to worry about enemies because people, they're mad at me. That's their problem. I'm sorry for them. I see them like God sees them. Look, the idea of true Christianity is to discover that God is good. Number two, to discover people. First discover God, then discover people. What about people? That discover them like God sees them. Get the picture that God has of them. Study that in your Bible. It'll turn it on for you. Maybe you become bored reading the same scriptures. You have to really watch when you know the scriptures. You'll read right over those wonderful things because your mind, your brain, people that haven't studied language or studied lots of things, they don't understand how the brain works. But the brain will formulate a nice little, conjure up a nice little picture about every word in the vocabulary. And then you'll read them and keep that little picture focused, and you'll read right over the great revelations because you're accustomed to thinking in the rut that you've always thought. And you've got to let the Holy Spirit help you draw your mind out of that rut and think new. Reappraise the words. Look close. But you can only look close and reappraise the words if you reformulate your graphics, your picture, your view of the world. People, the church sees saints and sinners. No. Just people. Just people, see. Do you believe that? You believe that? I don't know how the church is so smart. If people say that, when they're backsliding. How do you know? Someone says, oh, that couple, they've been away from God a long time, but God's deal with them. How do you know so much? Someone else said, oh, they've been backsliding. They've fallen away from God. How do you know so much? You know, God on judgment day is going to need to call you and say, bring your books, I need your help. You've been keeping tabs on everybody. See, I mean, how are you so smart? You know, people are people that, who are paid for, but they don't know it. So the real idea of Christianity is to discover God, that he's good. Discover people like God sees them. And when you discover God and discover people, then work on yourself. Then discover yourself. Discover your own value in God's plan. If you're going to be mean all your life, if you're going to be cranky, if you're going to be negative all your life, well, that spoils your wonderful value. Get over that. Discover the wonderful love that's been expressed to save you and redeem you and lift you and agree with it. God's discover how much God believes in you, and that'll bring out his best in you. As long as you figure God's mad at you, out to get you, or you're not worth anything, or you're a rascal and God's carrying a club and everything you do is going to get you in trouble, as long as you have that philosophy, then you'll never understand your own value. You are valuable to God if you'll be the Jesus person that Jesus wants to make out of you. And once you discover that God is good, and once you discover that people are good, people like God sees them, and once you discover yourself, your identity with Jesus Christ, your great value, then the next step is to commit yourself to God's dream and go for it. And the old statement fits well the basic attitude to achievement. In Christian ministry is simple, and it's been said so many times, find a need and fill it. Find a hurt and heal it. Find someone lost and show them the way. Find someone down and lift them up. That spells purpose. That spells mission. That spells God's number one job. Reaching people is our mission. Are you hearing me? This conference is to help you, and GGF is to help you to focus your life's goal, to decide your approach, how you're going to help people. That's what we come across the planet for, to get together here. That's the responsibility upon me. He's asked me to speak. My responsibility is to give you something to take home. I want to help you focus your goal. I keep asking, what do you preach about? What's the titles on your sermons? When you get up before people, do you drag yourself to the pulpit or do you spring to the pulpit like you're happy? You ever see preachers that drag up there and crawl up there and you're bored before they start? You know. People need us, but they need us to be happy and to be sure of our own peace with God. Don't forget that. So this conference is to help you to focus your life's goal and to decide your approach to helping people and to decide your approach to reach people. How do you reach people? What are you doing to reach people? Every life that's on target with God has a divine mission. I can tell this is all I'm going to get to tonight. I'm going to give this to you. What is mission? And I'm going to bring them other things to you later. Listen, what is mission? You spell it. I hope this will help you. Get the tape and write this down. M-I-S-S-I-O-N. Well, you know how to spell that. You don't need to write that down. I know that. Mission. What is your mission? We want to help you focus your mission. Let me give it to you in some words of mine. They're long sentences. I can't ever preach these ideas through an interpreter because they're too long. They get lost in the interpretation. But you're English. So if you can understand my okay language, I want to give it to you. Mission, what is it? M. What does M stand for? M. Seeing the possibilities for good in our world, and M, making new roads, making things happen for the betterment of humankind. M, seeing the possibility for good in our world. See, if you don't start out from that, you're never going to help much. How do you think? What's your perspective? What do you see? What are the graphics that appear before your mind? What do you ponder about your ministry? What titles do you put on your sermons? You want a success? You've got a mission. It's God's mission. Mission. What is mission? Everybody has a mission. You have a mission. All of our missions are the same. Whether you're a preacher or whether you're a lay person, whether you're a man, whether you're a lady, everybody's got a mission. What is our mission? It starts with M, seeing the possibilities for good in our world, and, okay, we take off, make new roads, make things happen. If you want a story, go out there and make it happen. Go make it happen. God is with you. The poor devil is up against it. Look at them McNulty's over there. They got some terrific ideas when we were in Kiev. That's funny. They watched me pray for them people. They got healed. He copied the prayer down. Well, I copied Branham's prayer. I prayed the first prayer just like I saw Branham pray. And it worked? Wow. Okay. M, seeing the possibility. That's where it starts. What do you see? Do you see sinners? You see failures? You see your area's hard? You see it's difficult? You see your people are hard to win? You see nobody but he? Come on. See the possibilities for good in our world and make something happen. Stand up and be God in your community. Wow. I am seeing the needs and the problems of society. See, every one of them starts off like that. See, what do you see? Before you see something, you're good for nothing. That's scriptural. God told Abraham, if you can see it, you can have it. Look as far as you want to, take it. But if you don't see it, our mission is seeing the needs and the problems of society and inventing new solutions to those problems and new ways to meet those needs. Wow. S. Ready for S? The first S? Seeing. Here we go again. If you don't see it, you're dead while you live. Christianity is a hope. Did you know that? It's a hope. And you know what hope is? Preachers have fussed about it for generations, but hope is nothing but the graphic, the picture, what you see. That's hope. That's why hope, faith, can only function if there's hope. It's the substance of things hoped for. It gives reality to your picture. Your picture is what you see. Faith says, I'll make that become what I see. Now that's what you're doing with them tents. Glory to God. You gotta have hope. You gotta see something. You got hope? That's why every one of these, starting up with what you see. Seeing, S. You ready? Say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
S, seeing the waste of human lives without God. And saving new souls through the loving life force of Jesus Christ. The next S, seeing the unlimited potential of every human being, and S, sowing new seed ideas of success and happiness in their minds to help them become their best for God. I know that was too much for you to write down. You want me to run it one more time? S, seeing the unlimited potential of every human person. See, people say they're good for nothing. They're a beggar. They're nothing. No. Seeing the potential. Seeing what's in them. I see God in people. You know, the Hindus, have they got more faith than we have? There's namaste. I mean, I see God in you. I mean, where are we? They reverence us. Well, I'm not trying to be a Hindu, but we got to realize people are important. C.S., seeing the unlimited potential in every human being and sowing new seed ideas of success and happiness in their minds to help them become God's best in their life. See what I'm talking about? Say, I got it. Say, I got both S's. Hallelujah. I, seeing the depravity and incurable loneliness of people without purpose. And I, inspiring new discoveries of their roots in God so they can be the somebody God created them to be. That's the I. Seeing the depravity and incurable loneliness of people without purpose. I said without purpose. And inspiring new discoveries of their roots in God. They don't know that. Tell them that. You'll change them. You'll produce senators and representatives and prime ministers and provincial commissioners out of your congregation if you'll stop negativism and see the potential in the people and lead them to rise up and lead the nation and make a better nation and make better laws and make more freedom and build a better world. We have the power to do it. We got to get off of our negative buns and walk with God. Oh, your mission. Oh, what's your mission? Oh, listen, seeing the loss of productivity of those who are locked in with their poor self-image. Is that the way? Do you see that? Seeing the loss of productivity, the waste, by those who are locked in with their poor self-image, and opening new doors to the unlimited fulfillment of loving service to others. It changes a life completely. Believe it. Preach that, preachers. That'll put pretty titles on your sermons. Hallelujah. Okay, I got to give you the last one. In your mission. What's your mission? You got a mission? Hey, you got a mission? Hey, do some Christians not have a mission? Do some people have it better than others? Or some are not dignified enough to have a mission? What do you think? How do you preach? How do you treat people? Because unless you see value in other people, you're not going to realize value in you. Because you're only going to see in other people the opinion that you got of yourself. And if you don't translate into love for other people, that means you're dead inside. In. You ready for it? Seeing. You got to see things before you can do that. Seeing the awful destructiveness of negativism and hopelessness. Oh, there's nothing that destroys human lives like that. And so many people get it from their preachers. And they go home more scared than they were when they came to church. Preachers, hear me. For heaven's sake, people have problems. Don't let them come to you and get some more. Never forget that. No. We're to heal people, lift people, solve people, help people. Seeing the awful destructiveness of negativism and helplessness, and in nourishing new dreams of positive living by the infusion of faith in God. You can do it. Faith in God and miracle living in Jesus Christ. One more trip through. Seeing the awful destructiveness of negativism and hopelessness and nourishing new dreams of positive living by the infusion of two things, faith in God and miracle living in Jesus Christ. You can change your world. The Christian faith is a positive faith. Doubt, fear, unbelief are negative. They are killers. They will kill you while your heart's still beating. Get rid of the no in life. Turn them all into a yes and an amen. And let them ring. Okay. M, making new roads. I, inventing new solutions. S, saving new souls. S, sowing new seeds. I, inspiring new discoveries. O, opening new doors. N, nourishing new dreams. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.